Man, it's so good to be here and be able to preach. If we have not met, I am a member of this church, okay? But I serve as the director of missions for our association. We have about 55 churches spread across Callaway, Audrain, and Boone counties. And for the last about 6 months, I've been serving as the interim pastor for a church plant down in Holt Summit. And we're about ready to call a new pastor, and that's going to be great. But I'm done in June, and I'm looking forward to being back here more regularly. You see my family around, Kami and my son Noah, who plays the drums, and all those other ones. And yes, Asher, who runs around like crazy, is mine as well. We did really good on the first three. Yep. But we love them, and we love you guys. And so it's great to be here. If you guys would turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be looking at about 24 verses of Peter's letter to these scattered believers all across the world. In fact, they're scattered in a place called Asia Minor or in present-day Turkey. And we're going to see what he has to say to these people. Really, it's words for us this morning as well. So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 13, and if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen. It says, "Therefore, prepare in your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy,' and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things as in silver or gold, but with precious blood of Christ, like that of the Lamb without blemish or spot.'" Verse 20. "He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by the obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. And the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." Chapter 2, verse 1. "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Verse 4. "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do." Verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation." Let us pray. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for this day. We thank you for gathering us here. Lord, there are many scattered across this world that are meeting together, that are coming before you, desiring to glorify you and to worship you. And Lord, we all come with the same mind. Father, that you may be glorified. Lord, help us today. Help us in this room to hear your word and to walk in the truth of it. Lord, I pray that it's not my words or actions or anything I say or do, but it is you that speaks this morning. God, guide us and use us for your glory. Lord, I pray for Richland as we grow and as you keep on using our church, Lord, that maybe one day you would send us out as well. Father, guide us. Help us to learn. Father, we pray these things in your name. Amen. It's allergy season. We find in this passage, Peter is writing to these people scattered all out. And if you read in Acts chapter 2, you see that the same places that these people were scattered to, these were people that were there, that they heard the word of God and then they went. These are Jews. These are exiles. Excuse me. In the first part of 1 Peter, he was talking about the walking in hope, especially when faced with trials, because what he was laying out is Peter is in Rome. Paul is in Rome as well. And at this time, Nero, who's the emperor, who is beginning to bring persecution not only to Christians, but to worldwide Christians. About a year after this book is written, Paul is martyred, and about a year after that, Peter is martyred. So when he's speaking to the believers, he's saying, you are going to face trials. But understand this, that the grace and the salvation that we have is able to go beyond those. And don't just be stagnant, but then to be a people of God. And so we see in this passage, we're dealing with walking in holiness, but really there is a truth, there is a key truth that we need to understand out of this, and it's found in the last verses. In verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. See, this truth is this, that we are a chosen people. Now understand this, that Peter is writing to the church. He is writing to people who have a relationship with God, and he says this, you are a chosen people. You and I sitting here today with a relationship with God, we are a chosen people. And if we are a chosen people, then you are a chosen person. We say, well, Preston, what do you mean that I'm chosen? What does all that mean? Well, first of all, that you were chosen by God. It says there in those verses that you were chosen by God. You were called out of darkness and into marvelous light. Listen, this is salvation. Right? You and I, in our natural state, we are born with sin. We are born into sin, and we are, in a sense, darkness, in that we are called out of that darkness because of what Jesus did on the cross. We are called out of the darkness into light. Many of us have probably been in a cave at one point in our life, and the guide will take us back to the darkest place, right, and turn off the lights, and then they'll light a candle or a simple match. Darkness can never overtake the light. Listen, when we have a relationship with God, the darkness cannot overcome our lives anymore because we are called out of it and into light. But some of you here, you're still in darkness. That's where your life is. This whole relationship with God, this is something foreign to you. Or maybe you're even beginning to question, God, what is it with my life? I think that you want more for me. See, we are called to be a people for his own possession, not our own. When we are called out of darkness, our old life is put away and the new life is here. We are called to be his possession, not our own. And then I love this. He goes on and he says that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out. See, we are called, we are chosen by God to proclaim the excellencies of him. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you are not proclaiming Jesus Christ, if you're not proclaiming the gospel, then you need to really check your relationship with him. Right? That is our job. We are a chosen people, and therefore we do these things. We were lost, but now we're found. We were without hope, and now we have an identity, and we've been given this salvation. But notice here all these different pronouns that is given. I use the pronouns his and him over and over again because this is key. Because everything we do, everything that we are, everything that we desire should be about God and his salvation and his plan for the world, because ultimately we glorify him. We are a chosen people. Because we're a chosen people, this passage gives us some responsibilities. Now, these are not exhaustive, but these are in this passage, and I want us to look at five of them. And so, if you're taking notes, it's on the back of your bulletin or on the app. We talked about the key truth, which is that we are a chosen people and you are a chosen person. But the first responsibility is this, is that we are people of action. We're people of action. He says it there in verse 13, therefore prepare in your minds for action and being sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're people of action, not people just to sit in pews. We're not people just to build bigger buildings, but we are supposed to be people who go. We hear, we learn, but we go. We proclaim. We are to be his witnesses in all of the world, but people of action. We do this in a few different ways. He says here to prepare your minds. Some translations says this, to gird up the loins of your mind. That's pretty vivid, right? To gird up the loins of your mind. It means to pull your thoughts together and have a disciplined mind. Really, this is it's an illustration. It's a visual thing that men at this time would wear robes, right? Long robes, and they would have a belt around them. And what it means to prepare your mind, it means that you take the bottom of your robe and you tuck it into your belt so that you can run. That's what it means to prepare your mind. Some of us need to put on our running clothes and start running and not just sit, right? Prepare our minds. It takes action. We're also to be clear-headedness, to be sober and calm and steady and controlled, to weigh out manners. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this, it says, be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. If we're going to be people of action, listen, the devil's got a game plan to ruin your life. If we're not prepared, if we're not preparing our minds and being sober-minded, then we're going to be destroyed all the time. Now, understand this, that if you have a relationship with God, that does not mean that he can take it away, that the devil can take away your salvation. But what he can do is ruin your witness. Well, how do you do that? You just are not people of action, right? You're just waiting for the invitation to be attacked. Brothers and sisters, we must be people of action. Why? Because we're to set our hope fully on the grace of Jesus Christ. To set our hope fully on him. Why? Because of the grace, the salvation that we have. Listen, we got a lot of stuff in our lives that want to cloud our minds, take us away from being focused. Think about it right now of what's the thing that you need to begin to address that's keeping you from running to the Lord or doing the things that he's called you to do. Second responsibility is this, that we are to be people of holiness. people of holiness. I love this. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. He goes on. Really what this means is that we need to grow up. We need to grow up and be obedient children. How many of you have ever raised children? Okay. How many of you have raised teenagers? How many of you have raised teenagers and toddlers at the same time? I don't advise it. All right? But what we understand is this, is that we're supposed to grow as obedient children. Why? Because God is the example for us. Just as he is holy, we are to be holy. This is Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. See, children inherit the nature of their parents. Also, we're a pretty good example of making a mirror image of us. How many of you have ever tried to parent yourself out of your children? All right. Okay, some of you guys are telling the truth. Some of you guys are like, I'm in denial. That child is not mine. Not mine at all. Listen, we are to be obedient children. We're not children to our earthly fathers and mothers anymore, but to be his children. See, the root meaning of the word that is translated holy is the word different. Now, this isn't like different as in being an odd person, but this is rather that a person's life has a quality about it that is different. They're no longer bound by the sins and the desires of a sinful life. Warren Wiersbe says it like this in his B series. He says that a believer's present lifestyle is not only different from his past way of life, but it is different from the lifestyles of the unbelievers around him. A Christian's life of holiness appears strange to the lost, but it is not strange to other believers. If I came into your place of work or your school and I began to examine your life, how much different are you from the unbelievers around you? If you're not different, then you're not a good witness for him. Our lives need to be that different, but not like a crazy different, okay? Not like Tammy, you know? No, I love Tammy, and I got to tell you this, Tammy is doing a phenomenal job with our students. And our students are growing, and they are doing this exact thing. They're becoming people of holiness. Why? Because they are set apart. You can see it in their schools and their attitudes and all of that. But what about you and I? Are we different from those around us? But do we glorify God in that differentness? See, our conduct will be evaluated. But this is not our salvation, but rather what we produce from our salvation. It's not about the deeds that we do to gain salvation. That's not it, because Christ has already done the work on the cross. But it is our deeds. It's what we do, our conduct, our life after salvation will be evaluated. Listen, brothers and sisters, we will be held accountable for every word and thought that we do and say. We're to live in respect and reverence of God. Why? Because we have been rescued by the blood of Jesus Christ. With the precious blood of Christ, verse 19 says, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. But this was the plan. It goes on, verse 20, that he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but it was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. Listen, brothers and sisters, you could not save yourself, and you still can't save yourself. It took Jesus, but that was the plan all along. We're going to walk you through the scriptures from Genesis all the way through of how God was preparing his people for Jesus and his sacrifice. And it took the precious blood of Jesus to save you. And we should not just be flippant about that. Our life should be different. We should be people of holiness. We should also be people of the word. We're people of action, we're people of holiness, but also we are people of the word. It says this in chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, and like newborn infants, long long for spiritual milk. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. This is verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, and love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Listen, we need to be people of the word. We got to purify our souls through God's word, not other things, but... Right? I have a wedding ring, and many of us do. And it's not rubber, it's not plastic or anything like that, but it's gold. If you've ever seen gold in its natural state, it's dirty. It's in a rock. You have to mine it out. But once you chip away the rock, then you put it to fire. And you refine it, and you keep on going and going and going. I was preaching about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, and in the Far East, when they purify gold, they keep on doing it until the person who is refining can see his reflection in the gold. It's a perfect example of how God refines us. Until he can see his face in our lives, he's going to constantly refine us over and over and over again. We're purified through God's word. When we read it, it begins to change us on the inside. We're supposed to be obedient to the truth. We're to love one another. This is the brotherly love, and then sacrificially, the agape type of love. We've been born again. This all comes out of God's word, and we walk in the way preached to you. I love that. And this is the word that is the good news that was preached to you. Listen, one of the reasons why Richland Baptist Church is growing right now is because the word of God and the gospel is preached every single Sunday. Like I said, I go around to a lot of churches, and a lot of them are struggling right now because the word of God is not preached and the gospel is not there. We have a responsibility to purify our souls through the word of God. We're also to desire and crave the pure things. We're to grow up and put away. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. The New Living Translation puts it this way. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow up into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have tasted of the Lord's kindness. See, one of the evidences of a spiritual life is a hunger for spiritual food, the Word of God. Take a quick assessment of your life. How much are you craving the Word of God in your daily life? It's a good litmus test for us to understand. Are we desiring him? Are we walking out these responsibilities, or are we just going through the motions? Well, brothers and sisters, you cannot remain babies in Christ. See, many of us, we come to church, we walk an aisle, we say a prayer, we get baptized, we get wet, they dry us off, and then we sit down, and then we become stagnant. Right? You can't stay a baby. You can't be like, hey, I got out of hell free. I got my card here. I'm a card-carrying member. I'm all good. No, it's not about that. It's Lord and Savior of your life, that we are to grow in. Babies have a great appetite, right? But they don't stay there. They grow up, and they want steak. And it gets expensive, right? You have to be the same way. Grow. Begin to desire the more solid thing. Dig deeper into the Word of God and dig deeper into your relationship with Him. The students already led us in a song earlier, but to taste and see. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, 8 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Brothers and sisters, when we crave the pure spiritual milk, when we begin to crave the things of God, we need to taste and see. Taste that his goodness is there and see him come to work. Put our faith in him and pray. this morning in life groups. We talked about Eli and his sons. It's good. It's a great example for us that when we are raising children, we need to continue to pray for them. We need to see the Lord working through them, because they got complacent. They stopped caring. And they didn't taste and see. Next, we are people built together. People of action, people of holiness, people of the word, but also people built together. Peter says, he says, verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Right? We are built upon Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, which means that this perfect stone is laid, and all stones that go this way are laid according to that stone, and all stones going this way are laid according to that stone, and all stones that go up are laid according to that stone. It means this, that if your life is out of balance with God, then you're not in line with him. It means that you're not really following with him. He's not the cornerstone of your life. But you and I, we are built together. That's why we call it a church. We are built together. We have bricks out there that hold up the facade, but you and I, we're built together. And that's how we become strong. We're to be a spiritual house linked with each other upon Jesus Christ. Not upon what we can do, but what Jesus is doing in and through us. But when we're built together, we're also supposed to be different. See, the cornerstone was rejected. We're going to be rejected. We're going to be found in the world's eyes as something strange. He says in the first few verses that we will be sojourners and exiles, strangers in a foreign land. Who or what are you built on this morning? See, if you're built upon your own self, you're like what's been happening in the news lately and the beach houses on the eastern side where they put up stilts thinking that it was going to help them with flooding. But what happened is that they built their homes on the sand. And when the constant tides are coming in, eventually that sand erodes and those houses fall. That's what it looks like for you and I. When we're not built on Christ, we will crumble and fall. But when we are built on God, we are safe and secure. The last responsibility is this, and I just alluded to it, is that we are people not of this world. We're people not of this world, that we're to be sojourners. Again, Peter is talking to people that are not in Jerusalem, but are on far reaches of the earth. They're in places where you can visit right now, that they were going to experience turmoil in exile, and they were going to experience these trials that were going to come to them. But he said, our home is not here. Our home is in heaven, where our salvation is. We're not people of this world. This is temporary. Peter says to us, verse 11 of chapter 2, beloved, I urge you as sojourners, exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul, keep in conduct with the Gentiles. Listen, when we are people not of this world, that the flesh, the sinful things, the passions, we got to be done with those, because he says they will be at constant war. Constant war. This is like the devil prowling around and saying, hey, Curtis, you know what? You're really struggling in that area. Yeah, you need to fix it yourself. Don't look at God, but you fix it yourself. Or maybe it's like, hey, you remember that site you looked at on your phone? The things that begin to cloud your mind, not being sober-minded anymore. Listen, the passions of your flesh are at constant war. I can't say that enough. They are at constant war. We are not people of this world. They should not affect us like others. We're also supposed to be living among unbelievers as a faithful witness. Why? So that others will know God by your life. Eugene Peterson in The Message, I don't normally use it in sermons, but I thought that it was a good way to describe this. He says this, "Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life in your neighborhood so that your actions will refute their prejudice, and then they will be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives." Listen, we're to be witnesses where we live. We have responsibilities. But I want to end with this before we have a time of application. Peter talks about all these things to the church, right? We are chosen people. We are people of action. We are people of holiness and people of the word and people built together and people not of this world. But he also addresses those of you in this room that don't have a relationship with God. There's a warning to those who are not obedient. It's this: you will always stumble and fall. You're destined for this unless you put your faith in the Savior. Jesus, God, the Bible, the church, they will always be an offense against you, and they will always be offending you. Let me say that again. Jesus, God, the church, the Bible, they will always be an offense against you, and they will always offend you. If you're like, you know what, Preston, yeah, these people at church, or man, God just kind of wants to ruin my life. No, that is the stumbling block in front of you that you keep on tripping over but not realizing that it is God saying you need to get right with him. You will always stumble and fall if you are against God and removed from him. That's a promise. Just like it's a promise that those of us who have a relationship with him, that we are a chosen people, but those who are not, it's always going to be offensive unless we put our faith in Christ. Say, well, Preston, how do you do that? God had a plan from the beginning. It was perfect. It was in connection with him. When sin entered into the world, we lost that connection. We've been trying to get it back through all the different ways, our own personal way, money, fame, whatever, relationships, but we always stumble and fall. Ever from the beginning, God had a plan. That plan was his son. It was always going to be his son, to die for you and I. In a little bit, we're going to take communion, and it's a symbol of what Jesus did on the cross. The reality is that Jesus shed his blood for you. You can't take that away. You can't erase it from history. That really happened. God's Son was real. And he's asking you to put your faith in him because he wants you to be one of his children, to be a person of action. So this morning, as the musicians come and Nick comes, I want to challenge you with this. You've heard the word. Are you a chosen person or not? If you're not, then put your faith in him. I want to just be real with you. It's nothing that we can say or do. It is you having a relationship with him. And I want to challenge you, as plain as it can be, put your faith in him. Some of us are struggling. We keep on having all these ideas and, hey, God, I'll do it when I'm older. I'll do it when I'm ready. I'll do it when my life is cleaned up. The old hymn, "Just as I am," is still true today. So where are you at this morning? Youth band, why don't you come up? Nick, why don't you come? For those of us that are believers, How you doing on those responsibilities this morning? My challenge to you is this, is what's the next step? What's God asking you to do? Maybe it's start to be a person of action. Maybe you say, Preston, my relationship with God's not that good. I'm following in my own footsteps and not his. Be a person of holiness. Preston, I haven't read my Bible in a long time. I need God to do a work in my life. Be a person of the Word. God's doing something great here. I tell churches all the time that God is building something awesome here, and we're built together, but some of you might need to join, be a part of this church. You're not of this world. Our lives should be so different. You have a choice this morning. You have a decision to make, and as Nick leads us in the Lord's Supper and the band plays, there'll be some of us up here ready and willing and able to talk with you. Catch us after the service, whatever, but when we walk out those doors, we will make a decision on whether we live by the truth or not, whether we have a relationship with God or not. Let's pray. Father God, move in this place. Lord, again, it's not my words or anything I say or do, but it is you that speaks this morning. Lord, we find ourselves so many times not focusing on the responsibilities that you've given us. Lord, like a wonderful parent, would you call us back? Lord, we thank you for the grace. Father, meet us here now. Father, we pray these things in your most holy and precious name. Amen.